PFT Media.
All episodes of The Experience with Chris Fio were recorded prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is The Experience with Chris Fio. In each episode, Fio brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
This week on The Experience, I talk with artist Christy Lee. One of the many reasons that I like Christy is that she has reinvented herself many times and that her art is as daring and full of life as she is. Christy does not limit herself to just one style or medium. She does it all, including her outreach as an artist advocate. Lee gives heartfelt seminars teaching artists how to approach galleries, how to dress for success, and how to make the most of their careers. Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Experience with Chris Fio. Today I have the pleasure of talking with artist Christy Lee Green. How are you doing today, Christy?
I'm great, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's such a beautiful day.
It is.
I'm in a beautiful gallery, like always, and I'm talking to a very wonderful artist.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. All right. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. My first question is to you. I've asked this to a mutual friend, Harold Gard, question. He gave me his version of it, which is a very good version.
He's going to be a hard act to follow.
Oh, he is. But what is art?
Oh, art. I can only speak for myself.
Okay.
But to me, art is being able to take paint, crayon, color of any kind, mix it together, put it on a canvas or a piece of paper, and create something beautiful. As simple as that.
Really? So how did you come to realize art was your thing?
Okay, so I think I've always known, from when I was young. I always used to sketch when I was a child. Didn't have a lot to sketch on, but used whatever I can, and created all kinds of fun pieces. Then as I grew, I got into beauty school, went to beauty school, become a hairdresser, another form of art, as you know.
Yes, that brings me to my other question.
Okay, go ahead.
You've actually had a long career doing like other fields. You're a hairstylist, but you worked with somebody very famous.
Yeah, I worked with the original Paul Mitchell, the famous Paul Mitchell in New York City. Did some platform work, did some wonderful print work with him. We had a great time. It was a wonderful time in my life. I did hair for almost 35 years.
Really? Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know many people in the circuit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for many years.
Oh, wow. How was it like working alongside of him?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a little bit, when I first got there, of course, I have to say, it was a little bit scary. And, I was a little child then.
Okay.
So, but they taught me a lot, and took us, young hairdressers under their wing, gave us great experience and training. And so it was a terrific time in my life.
Oh, nice. Would you say Paul Mitchell was difficult to work with, or was he?
No.
Okay.
No, not difficult to work with at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Do you think working with hair is an art form?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things, not just cutting hair, but there's coloring hair and styling it. And, that's all the same thing with balance and style and color and form, shape. So it's all in the same idea of what I do now on a canvas.
Right. Is there any, because you follow a book when you're a hairstylist.
A book?
Or the book. Like, do you follow the book when it comes to hairstyling? I would imagine when you're training, there's a way you have to go about it. Because I used to groom dogs.
Okay.
And there's a book standard that you have to go by. Is it like that in hairstyling?
I didn't find that. There's you have to learn how to cut a straight line.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds much simpler than it really is.
Yes.
It's very hard to cut a straight line.
Oh my.
And so there we get back to balance, form, figure, So all that, just that foundation, took me to other levels in my hairdressing and in my art.
Oh, wow. That is really art. So when did you decide to make the jump from being a stylist to an artist?
Okay, well, I always sketched whenever I had time. Raising children, isn't always easy when you're working full-time, raising children. Doesn't give me much time to play, you know?
Two full-time jobs.
Yeah. And then when my son went off to college, all of a sudden, you know, the house is empty and I have all the time in the world. So now I decide that that's when I'm going to definitely take on what I want to do, and that would be to take a couple classes to start exploring my art.
Yeah. So how did that hit you? Was it an immediately, like after everyone left, did that come to you? Or were you just sitting there with empty space like, what do I do?
Oh, no, it came right to me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think it had been all in there just waiting to get out. You know what I mean?
Percolating okay, up.
Close the door, hit the canvas.
Boom, right there.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some of your art. It's very wonderful work.
Thank you.
And you've actually had some art up in the Mills Gallery, actually, which I'm very happy to hear about.
Yeah, I had last October, I had a solo exhibition there.
Yes.
It went really well. That was exciting for me. It's always exciting to see your art on other people's walls.
It is, actually.
You create something in your little studio, and then when it goes off, you know, it's wonderful to see how people love it, accept it, you know, and display it. It's a great honor.
So is that when you realized that you would make it as a painter? When was the time that hit you that said, I can really do this, I can be a painter?
I kind of feel, Chris, that I always knew that.
Yeah.
I kind of think that I always knew that. You know, how far it'll take me in the future, I can only hope it takes me to great places. But that's not the main goal. The main goal
right.
is the pleasure that I get when I go into my studio and I stand in front of a canvas and I create something of beauty. That's what it's all about.
That's a wonderful vision. That's very wonderful to know that you had already had that in you, that love and spice.
I think you do. I really don't think that somebody who has never had any kind of art feelings can understand that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that I always knew that I could. It's just, when will I be able to? Yeah.
And how would you describe your art?
I'm really an artist that enjoys all kinds of art. I have dabbled in sculpture, painting. I started with oil painting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. After sketching, I moved right into oil painting. I did some figures. I do portraits. I do abstract. I love mixed media. I love sculpture. It's amazing to put your hand in some clay and create a beautiful form out of it.
Gives you that feeling like any art's supposed to give you, that tangibleness of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. And what was the hardest form of art that you've learned?
I think it was portraiture.
Portraits?
Yeah, because you want to try to get it to look as much as you can like that particular person that you're painting. So you go into it, let's say a class, when I first took my first portraiture classes, and you walk in and there's a model there, you know, it's a live model. And now you have to paint that live model to try to look like that. So it's not only about balance, it's about form, it's about the lighting, there's so much that goes into it. It's a little scary.
I can imagine it. That can be intimidating at times.
Yeah.
You know, like when I took art classes, we had to focus on a lot of all of that, just versus how the shadow lays versus the person you're drawing in the actual picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes in art class, we would just draw a figure and we would, you know, get critiqued, like how does the shade fall on him? How does this react to that?
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
That's
like,
right.
If
right.
you wear clothes, how does it drop onto the pants versus if you had no pants?
Right.
I mean,
but the best part, Chris, is when you loosen up enough that you don't want it to look like that person. And then it becomes something wonderful. Mm. Yeah.
That's when magic happens.
That's
when you create something absolutely new in this world. Which
yeah. I had a great mentor.
Really?
A friend of mine, Paul Scarborough. He's a local Orlando artist.
Yeah.
And he was the one who freed me up with my art, because I was trying to always make everything look so perfect. And he said, why? You know, take a photograph if you want it to be so perfect. He said, you know, explore yourself and get loose and create. And when he gave me that, it's like he gave me permission to be the artist that I am now.
To just let loose and let creativity create.
Right.
And was he one of your biggest influences in art?
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, there's so many. Modigliani and Picasso, you know, there's so many. Monet and Rembrandt, famous ones who I've followed and loved through the years. But as a local artist, you know, he was, I watched him go from such a freeing watercolor up to the looseness of where he ended his career. You know, unfortunately, he passed away last year. But
condolences.
Yeah. But, yeah, watching him evolve has also taken me through the steps myself of where I'm going to take my art in the future.
That's wonderful. I mean, and God bless him for, you know, giving that to you.
Yeah.
Really, God
bless
him.
It was a gift.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
My next question is, my favorite artists are the ones who are activists. And I know that you actually host seminars for young starting artists.
I do, and I really enjoy helping young artists. I like helping any artist, you know, just like I was helped. I like paying it forward. So with this young artist, I have decided to talk to them on how to move your art from your art classes, from your studio, into approaching a gallery. And most don't know that. I know myself, when I was looking to do that, I went to one of the local art schools and I asked them, you know, where do I go now? How do I do that? And they couldn't even help me. They said, you know, go to the internet. The internet has a million things, but so confusing to a young artist.
Exactly.
You know? Someone who's just coming out. Like, let's narrow it down. So I decided for my own self that that's what I would do. And I started going through the different steps on what I felt was the best. Then I spoke to a few gallerists and asked them, you know, what they thought, and moved all that stuff together to create this seminar where I give that little bit of information to these artists who come and show up.
Wow, that is wonderful. I love to hear that.
Thanks.
And how did this get started?
Well, Boris Garby at the gallery at Mills was the one who actually pushed me in that direction.
And the experience loves Boris Garby.
Yeah. We all love Boris Garby.
Yes.
He's a real advocate for the artist.
He is. He really does advocate a lot for the artist. Like, his famous quote, if I can quote this, is, I don't care about the art, I care about the artist.
And he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. So, you know, he's always looking to push artists forward in you know, create better steps for them to move forward.
Yeah, and I also think what you're doing is how to approach people, how to approach galleries.
Yeah.
Because I've heard stories like people just walking into galleries and demanding their art
on the
walls.
And I have seen that, Chris.
Yes?
I have seen it. Not so much that they're demanding, but people walk in the gallery very unprepared. They do not have materials with them. They do not have an appointment. They don't have any art to show you. They may even ask the gallerist, can I use your phone so that I can show you my photos on your phone, you know? So when I saw that, I'm thinking like, okay, we all need help.
Yes.
Let's share. So that's what we've been trying to do, share.
Well, good. I mean, wow. I mean, after experiencing something like that, I bet that just, was that during your seminar work or was it like before?
What's that?
Like when you see this person just pop in the
gallery.
Oh,
no, that was before, which is what, you know, when I spoke to Boris about it, you know, we were both talking about how unprofessional some people can be. And I showed him what I had put together and he thought it was wonderful and decided to push me in that direction so that I would talk to other artists about it. So now it's getting pretty popular. People want to come. They want to know when the next seminar is. And actually, there's a next one coming up in March, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's good. I love to hear that. You know, the more education we give to the younger generations on how to go about, you know, being artists and, you know, doing business in the art world, the better. I mean, I really fully support what you're doing.
Yeah, and it's not just the young artists. I mean, I speak to a lot of artists who said to me, you know, I've been doing this for years and I just didn't know where to take it or what to do next, you know. So I think it's good knowledge for any artist.
Yeah, I believe so, because it's not universal knowledge,
no,
you would consider.
No. And, you know, we have to get back to professionalism, and that's what it starts with, you know.
Yeah. You think there's a big drop in professionalism in
the
world?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I came from the old school where, you know, you had to respect your elders and there was a, you know, a line you didn't cross. And I just find that, you know, people today, not just young people, find it much easier just to be so lax and comfortable. But unfortunately, you're not putting your best foot forward.
Yeah. No one respects the ceremony, as it they would say, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. As my dad told me when I was younger, respect the ceremony of things. which I would imagine him saying the order of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what brings me to my next question was actually that answer you gave me was, I'm wondering what does 2020 hold for Christy Lee Green? What can we expect?
Oh my God, we got wonderful things happening. We have more talks in the gallery. I'm curating now. I'm doing some shows here. I actually have a big exhibition coming up the end of this month with 10 artists and they're encaustic artists that work with wax. And then we have another event in March, which is an Orlando event where people can come to artists' homes and experience their studios and watch them work and, you know, possibly buy art if they want to. I have another show coming up in September, a big event also that'll be here in Orlando with my friend that I was telling you about, Paul Scarborough, and myself. It'll be a wonderful event.
Wow. I can't wait to attend those events, actually.
Yep. And in between all that, lots of painting.
I love it.
Lots of painting. I'm in my studio just about every day.
You've told me this plenty of times, and yep. I can't. You know, it blows my mind how you could just sit there and, like, dedicate, but you have love for it. You have lots of love from talking to you about this. You know, you dedicate yourself to the art world, as it seems.
Yeah.
And this
and supporting other artists.
Yes.
It's really important, I feel, to support each other. You know, I try to go to a lot of other artists' events, you know, to support them, as I hope that they support me, and they do, you know. So I think that we as a community are a wonderfully quick growing community of artists here in Orlando. And I feel like we're only getting better.
I feel that too. And with all the people here that are trying to make it better, we will be better.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
I do.
This brings me to my Fio question.
Here we go.
Of the show. You have wonderful works of art.
Thank you.
We're going to narrow it down to you and your art.
Alrighty.
And egos aside, what makes your art important, in your opinion?
What makes my art important? You know, I think my art is important because it expresses who I am. It's my whole journey through life. You know, like I seem to try to take things without even knowing it, Chris. I go to my studio, I create something, and it inevitably brings me back to my youth, my childhood, where I've come from, where my journey has taken me, and I know it will continue to take me forward.
That's wonderful. That's very wonderful. All right. Is there any last things that you want to add?
All I'd like to say is I'd like to thank everybody who has been supportive of me. I'd like to thank you for this wonderful opportunity here to talk about my art and my future. I'd like to thank Boris Garby for all the help he's put me through. Given me, I should say.
Yes.
I'd like to thank my mentor in heaven who watches over me all the time. And my family, everybody. Thank you so much.
That's wonderful. And I say you're welcome for shouting me out. And thank you for everyone that has supported her and supported the show and made this opportunity possible between us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this has been another episode of The Experience with Chris Fio. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Go, but right now I know there's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. The Experience with Chris Fio is produced by Boris Douglas Garbe and Kyle Eagle. It is a joint production of Borma, Vonti, and PFT Media. The theme song is You and Me by NWR Superstar. Just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. A PFT Media production.